Are you looking for your next great read, but stumped on where to find it? Let me be your book fairy godmother. When you join Rhonda with a Book on Patreon for $5 a month, I will send you a personalized book recommendation, plus my All Things Bookish newsletter every month, and give you a shout out and plug your project here on the podcast. If you're on a budget, no worries. For only a dollar a month, you can get just the newsletter, which includes exclusive content not found on the blog, and a collection of links to articles, stories, and products book nerds will love, curated by yours truly. Go to patreon.com/rondawithabook to join. Thanks so much for your support, and as always, happy reading. Good day, friends, and welcome to the Rhonda with a Book podcast, where I, Rhonda, spill the tea on books. Not literally, of course. The essay I'm sharing this week is from all the way back in January of 2019, but I thought it seemed relevant now in this moment of increasing awareness and action surrounding civil rights and social justice movements, and particularly in light of the recent, some might say, controversies of this year's Hugo Awards ceremony. N.K. Jemisin, the author I discuss in this essay, won the Hugo for Best Novel 3 years in a row, starting in 2016, for the books in her Broken Earth trilogy. And I feel I shouldn't even have to say this, but they were more than deserving of the honors. These books are phenomenal. Yet there were people who claimed that these particular award wins were politically motivated, that Jemisin only won because she is a Black woman and the Hugos were trying to be PC. This year's Hugo winners and nominees, in a pleasant surprise, were a very diverse group. All the nominees for Best Novel were women, and an unprecedented number of authors of color and LGBTQ authors were nominated for and won awards. Yet, the ceremony itself proved that while the Hugos are supposed to celebrate the best of a genre that is all about looking toward the future, the science fiction establishment, as it were, is in many ways stuck in the past. This essay is called The Ones Who Walk Away and the Ones Who Stay and Fight: Social Justice in Science Fiction. I've recently discovered a new favorite author, three-time Hugo Award winner and all-around badass, N.K. Jemisin. I finished reading the fifth season and immediately had to learn more about Jemisin and her other works. Of course, books 2 and 3 of the Broken Earth trilogy have gone to the top of my TBR, along with her Inheritance trilogy, but right now I'm working my way through her recently released short story collection, How Long Till Black Future Month. In her introduction to the collection, Jemisin states that the title of the book comes from an essay she wrote in 2013, which is a great read and a celebration of Afrofuturism, and particularly the music artist and actor Janelle Monáe. If you don't know what Afrofuturism is, watch Black Panther. Wakanda is an embodiment of Afrofuturistic ideas. Or just read Jemisin's essay. Also in the introduction, the author mentions that The Ones Who Stay and Fight, the first story in the collection, is a pastiche of and reaction to Ursula Le Guin's The Ones Who Walk Away from Omelas. Side note, I'm still not sure how to pronounce Omelas, But since it's a fictional place, I hope that doesn't matter. But here's a story. I saw the title of this story in the table of contents before I read the introduction, and having Le Guin's story in my mind for a completely unrelated reason, I thought, oh, The Ones Who Stay and Fight. That's a cool title. I wonder if it has anything to do with The Ones Who Walk Away from Omelas. Anyway, I have a lot of thoughts and feelings about both stories, and now I will attempt to explain them. Le Guin's story was first published in 1973. I remember first reading it in my 8th grade English class, but I don't remember any discussion that my class may have had about the story. We were 13, so I'm not sure if all of us got it, honestly. I've reread it at least 5 times since then, most recently just last week, right before I started How Long Till Black Future Month. Very fortuitous. This is a story with kind of no plot and basically no characters. The first half describes this beautiful, joyous, utopian city, Omelas, filled with majestic architecture and technological marvels where everyone is happy all the time. Except, in order for the rest of the city to be beautiful and happy and thrive, they have to keep a child locked up in a dirty, dark dungeon. This child is physically abused, malnourished, and never spoken to. Everyone knows the child is there, and some people have even gone to see the child. But those who see and are rightly angered and disgusted by the child's treatment apparently can't do anything about it. They would like to do something for the child, says the narrator, but there is nothing they can do. If the child were brought up into the sunlight out of that vile place, if it were cleaned and fed and comforted, that would be a good thing indeed. But if it were done, in that day and hour, all the prosperity and beauty and delight of Omelas would wither and be destroyed. Those are the terms. The only thing you can do, if you find yourself unable to stand living in Omelas, knowing your happiness is dependent on this child's misery, is to leave. And there are a few who do just that, the narrator tells us. We don't know where they go, but we know that they walk away from Omelas. Jemison's story begins much the same way as Le Guin's, with descriptions of a utopian city's beauty and happy citizens. Jemison's narrator describes this city, Umhalat, as very intentionally diverse and inclusive, with equality of opportunity in virtually every way. There are mentions of adaptive equipment for anyone who is differently abled physically, the availability of housing for everyone, and the intentional efforts of all in the city to equally integrate people of all races into all professions. Quote, because the people of Umhalat are not believers in good intentions as the solution to all ills. No, there are no worshippers of mere tolerance here, nor desperate grovelers for that pittance of respect which is diversity. Umhalatians are learned enough to understand what must be done to make the world better, and pragmatic enough to actually enact it. Jemison's story departs from Le Guin's and their utopian cities. One glaring flaw. The people of Umhalat have pioneered technology that allows them to see into other worlds, in particular, our world. Not many people do this, we are told, because why would anyone living in this perfect world want to see our terrible one? In fact, doing so is forbidden in Umhalat because the hateful and harmful ideas of our reality have been known to corrupt people's minds in Umhalat. And once that happens, once someone in Umhalat has allowed these ideas to enter their mind, the only way to stop them from spreading to others is death. Swift and painless death at the hands of what the city calls social workers. Yeah. I don't know if the narrator of The Ones Who Stay and Fight is condoning this practice, or if, like the tortured child in Le Guin's story, its existence is supposed to serve as evidence that Umhalat is not, in fact, a perfect utopia. I would question the latter, because the narrator is intentional about stating that Umhalat, with its near-perfect equality and total lack of prejudice and injustice, is within the realm of human possibility. But to imply that the only way to keep this society equitable and free is to kill anyone who expresses ideas of hate or prejudice, even if they've never acted on them, is, I don't know. I don't even know if that's what the story is actually saying. I feel like I'm going to be thinking about this idea for a long time, so let's move on to a different yet somewhat related thought. The main thing that always frustrated me about the ones who walk away from Omalas is the alleged powerlessness of Omalas citizens to change the status quo in the city. The narrator claims that if the child is let out of their dungeon, given food and shelter, and treated kindly, read, like a human being, the order and beauty and perfection of their society will come crashing down. But why? What would actually happen? The narrator is pretty vague about this. It just says, to throw away the happiness of thousands for the chance of the happiness of one, that would be to let guilt within the walls indeed. And then explains how most people rationalize away their guilt by claiming that if the child was let out and allowed to live a normal life, it wouldn't be that great of a life anyway. So they might as well keep them in the dungeon so everyone else can live in this futuristic paradise. Of course, that's bullshit. And the narrator might not believe that it's bullshit, but Le Guin definitely does, and wants the reader to realize it too, I'm pretty sure. So when I saw the title, The Ones Who Stay and Fight, I was like, yes, finally! Someone's going to fight the power in Omalas, free the child, and start a revolution to take down the patriarchy, or President Snow, or whatever. Sorry. Hunger Games on the brain. This is the story I've been waiting to read without even realizing. But I didn't feel like that was what I read. At least, not at first. I'm not one of those readers who believes that the author's intent is irrelevant and that the reader's interpretation is all that matters. And if anyone could write a reactionary story that can stand side by side with Le Guin's, it would be Jemisin. So I think I understand what Jemisin was trying to do with this story, and I appreciate it as far as I understand it. It's revealed near the end of the story that Umhalat is not in another universe after all, but rather the future of our universe, built on the ruins of our societies after centuries of war and upheaval. The Umhalatian policy of eliminating anyone who has harmful ideas before they can spread is presented as an artifact of our time. Quote, "They did not choose this battle, the people of Umhalat today. Their ancestors did. When they spun lies and ignored conscience in order to profit from others' pain, their greed became a philosophy, a religion, a series of nations, all built on blood. Umhalat has chosen to be better, but it too must perform blood sacrifice to keep true evil at bay." So maybe it was my own fault for having predetermined expectations, but I didn't feel like anyone really stayed and fought in this story. Much like in Omalas, the ones who stay and fight presents the status quo as the only way this city can continue to exist in its beauty and goodness. But maybe that's not inevitable. Maybe the true message of the ones who stay and fight is that we need to fight now to effect change and enact justice before it's too late. And we come to a point where even the most beautiful future would still involve senseless death. Because what I came to realize is that the ones who walk away from Omalas was never just about the abstract idea of a utopia. It's about privilege. Racial, cultural, gender, religious, any kind of privilege. Are we okay with living in a society that oppresses some for the benefit of others? For the benefit of ourselves? And if not, what are our options? Will we walk away? Or will we stay and fight? Jemison's story ends with a call to action and perhaps a calling out of Omalas. That is the reactionary part. A challenge to be one of the ones who stay and fight. So don't walk away. This child needs you too, don't you see? You also have to fight for her now that you know she exists. Or walking away is meaningless. On that note, I'd like to encourage all of us to do something today to be one of the ones who stay and fight. Find an educational resource to learn about the history and current state of inequality in our country and our world. Participate by joining a protest in your area. And if we have the means, donate to an organization that is on the front lines of fighting for justice. You can find more bookish thoughts at rondawithabook.com and get exclusive bonus content through my Patreon. You can also follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Thanks for listening, and as always, happy reading!